It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and going to talk about an important subject today. I want to talk to you today about overcoming insecurities. Now, you might think, hey, Keith, I'm a very secure person. Yet there are times when all of us deal with insecurity. That's that uncertain feeling where you just lack confidence in yourself. You're unsure of yourself. Now, there are several examples in the Bible where God's people dealt with insecurities. Probably the most common example to us all would be Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the guy who just wasn't sure of himself, and he was always getting his foot in his mouth. As a matter of fact, in Mark 14, their story is told of Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples, and he makes a statement in verse 27. He said, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And look at this. Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, but tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. What was it about this guy, Simon Peter, that caused him to be so boastful, so out there, you know, that he says, "Lord, all these guys might fail you, but it's never going to happen to me." What makes Peter who he is? That Peter that everybody can relate to, because we all laugh, and yet we can relate to Peter, loud, boastful, and yet so unsure of himself. You see, friend, I'm fascinated with what happened to Simon Peter in the book of Acts, because he literally, once he encounters the Holy Spirit of God, he literally becomes a different person. This is the guy who, when they come to crucify him, to martyr him, he's going to die a martyr's death. He says, "Hey, I'm not worthy to die a death like my Lord did. Crucify me upside down." You see, God used Peter. With all of his insecurities, with all of his weaknesses, God used him to preach that sermon on the day of Pentecost, where the church was born and thousands were added to the church on that very day. Something happened in his maturity and growth to where he became a great leader in the New Testament church. You see, friend, Simon Peter, the fisherman by trade, and then disciple after being called by Jesus, I believe he operated his life in the performance mode. And that happens with many of us at times. You know, we try to please people. We try to do all we can do to be a success, even when it's not enough and we're struggling. Simon said, "Hey, though all these other 11 guys, they fail you, it's not going to be me." Well, let's see how that worked out. You see, friend, Peter's playing out what happened in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember back in the Garden of Eden what the original temptation of man was? Satan comes to Adam and Eve, and they're living in absolute perfection in the Garden of Eden, unconditionally loved by God. They would walk with God every morning in the cool of the day. Nothing could be better than to live where they lived in absolute paradise. And yet, the devil comes with this brilliant temptation. If Adam would only declare himself independent from God. So Satan gives Adam the promise, "If you eat from this fruit, you're going to be like God." And Adam believed it. He took the bait. And he basically declared himself independent of God because he disobeyed God. Satan says, "Man, you do this, and you're going to be like God." See, Romans says, man took the truth about God, and they exchanged it for a lie. Now they believe the truth is a lie, and that the lie is the truth. Adam believed this, and it was the very meaning of his existence. I've declared myself independent from God, and now I've become as God. The word Satan used when he said, "You shall become as God," is the word Elohim. It's God's creative name. Elohim was perfect, and man is seeking to become as God, and when he did, he became less than the way he was created. See, man, by definition, is one who was made in God's image and was the receptor of God's love. What was it that Adam had in the garden that was his greatest treasure? It was that unconditional love of God. God loved him. He was God's creation, and God was the creator. And Adam lost the sense of love. And so what did he do? He began trying to cover himself with fig leaves to hide himself. I often wondered who he was trying to hide from, because it was just him and Eve in the garden. There was no one else. I'm ashamed because I'm guilty. I've sinned against God. And when we become ashamed of ourselves, we want to hide from others. Friends, Satan desires to keep you covered in shame. I am so thankful for Romans 8. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death." Satan is called in the Bible the accuser of the brethren. He constantly works in our mind, and he tries to tear us down and make us feel we're unworthy and that God doesn't love us. But friend, that is a lie. And in Christ, we discover this unconditional love of God. See, Adam believed he could be as God, and now he finds himself totally inadequate. 5 minutes later, he's lost all that confidence that he once had. He exchanged it for a lie from the devil, and now he felt he was inadequate. He began to have all these insecurities, and he puts on his fig leaves. See, friend, it's so important that we understand the unconditional love of God. Almost every day on this program, I leave you by saying, God loves you unconditionally, friend. And you know what? That's not just a saying, not just a catchy phrase. I say that because it's the most important truth you'll ever learn, is that God loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting lives. See, so many times when the devil's attacking our mind and he's trying to make us insecure, what we do is we put on our fig leaves and we hide from each other. We try hard to please people, and at that same time, we're just not accepting the unconditional love of God. See, I must make myself lovable, so I put on a mask and show a performance, and hopefully that will make me lovable. How many times do people ask you, how are you doing, and you reply, fine, even though your world may be falling apart? When Jesus made the statement that one of you tonight is going to betray me, it gave them a bad performance. So Peter began to feel unloved, and now he's got to impress the Lord with his courage, saying, although everybody else denies you, I'm not going to do it, Lord. Even if all the others fall away, I'll follow you even unto death. You know, Luke gives a parallel passage about this same event of the Last Supper in Luke chapter 22. And it's interesting, it says in verse 23, they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this, which one's going to deny him or betray him. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Can you believe that? In the final hours of Jesus' life, he's having this Last Supper with them, and they're discussing which one of them is the greatest. At the very time when Jesus washed their feet and became like a servant or a slave. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you're not to be like that. See, they fell into the trap of the world. The trap of the world is to think you're better than everybody else, or you're the greatest. And yet the Lord calls us to be what? Servants. Become like servants. And Jesus says this in verse 31. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Wow, this is so heavy. Here's Peter bragging, and it doesn't say which one was saying that he was the greatest. It just said there was a dispute among them, but I guarantee you Peter was involved. And Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Are you getting this, friend? Simon, with all of his insecurities, all of his doubts and self-doubt and condemnation that he was dealing with, Jesus said, Simon, Satan's already asked permission to sift you, and you're going to fail, but I want you to know, after you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. I'm so glad God knows the end from the beginning, and I'm so glad God sees us as what we can be and not just as what we are. He saw the future, that Simon would become a brave and bold warrior for him. And so he said, after you've turned back, Simon, strengthen your brothers. Isn't that beautiful, friend? Jesus saw Peter through eyes of love and eyes of grace. He's saying, Simon, remember who you are. You're my disciple. You don't have to perform for me to love you. I love you and I chose you. See, Jesus knew what was going to happen with Peter. He's saying, tonight, Jerusalem's going to be in a mess. And most people would say, why don't you just stay home, Simon? Don't let him out. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. I love that, friend. So then Jesus takes his disciples and he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane where he begins to pray. And you know the story. They all fell asleep. And the weight of the world was on Jesus' shoulder at that moment. And there in the garden, finally the crowd comes to arrest Jesus and take him prisoner. And what happens? Peter takes a sword, and in front of all of his friends, he's got to defend the bold statements that he made earlier. A fisherman with a sword. What does he do? He cuts off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, and he cuts his ear off. And what does Jesus do? Imagine Jesus picks his ear up, and he puts it back on, and there is a supernatural miracle right in front of everybody. And I imagine that threw Peter off. Here he wanted to impress everybody by aiming at the guy's head and cutting off his ear. But what happens? Jesus heals the man's ear right in front of all of them. So then Jesus is taken away from the garden, and the Bible tells us that all the disciples ran. And in Mark 14, let's pick up the story with verse 66. Peter's in the courtyard. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said. And he went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. And again he denied it. And after a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you're a Galilean. And he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Now listen to verse 72. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and he wept. Peter, that brave fisherman from Galilee, when confronted by a city girl in Jerusalem, all of a sudden he breaks down and he begins to curse and swear. So he's not associated with Jesus. See, Peter couldn't stand the pain of rejection. We all want to be accepted. And here he was in a strange crowd in front of different people, and all of a sudden, he's feeling rejected. Now, I'm running out of time, and I don't have time to get through this whole message today, and we'll pick up tomorrow where we left off. But friend, I just wonder today, are you struggling with insecurities? Has Satan messed with your mind, telling you that you're not good enough, that you'll never be enough? I've got good news for you today, friend. God loves you unconditionally, just the way you are. You don't have to impress him. All you have to do is call on his name. Call on Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and he'll change your life forever. God loves you, friend. Walk in grace.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.